Hey, have you got a car in the driveway or the garage or the shed or the paddock that you think might be worth something? You're thinking, is this worth restoring or should I just flog it off because no one will want it? On Mornings Around Tasmania, it's Classic Car Talkback. Got a question? You can call me on 1300 222 936 is the number. Or you can text 0438 922 936. Love it when I see people putting some work into an older vehicle. Maybe you've got a fantasy car that you're thinking about buying. Want to know what the best way to get one is? 0438 922 936. Let's say good morning to Mark Haybittle from Supercar Secrets. Mark, good morning to you.
Yes, hi there, Leon. How are you?
I'm great, Mark. I am great. I'm told you get down to Tasmania from time to time. What's the best thing you've ever seen in Tasmania in your travels, Mark?
Oh, look, there's been many. There's been many, I have to say. Probably the sort of most prolific vehicles that we've brought back from Tasmania to the mainland have been two-door Range Rovers, which are very, very, very collectible now and very valuable. More recently, we came down there to see a special Porsche 928, which was one of the very early series before the S. And that car there is a manual, which makes it very rare indeed. It's one of only 1,394 built with manual transmission.
So let's just stop for a moment. The Porsche 928 and its sort of successor, the 928 S4, were such beautiful design. It was literally a teardrop on wheels.
Oh, look, absolutely. And they've become a really desirable car for some people, and yet they're also a bit of a love and hate car too. They're, you know, a bit of a Marmite car in some regards, because a lot of the Porsche people don't like them because, you know, they've got an engine at the front and a transaxle at the back. But they're not rear-engined like a traditional 911. To the eye of beauty, I think they're a great-looking car and an awesome car to drive, I have to say.
An awesome car to drive. They weren't crazy fast. How reliable are they? Because invariably, you might fantasize about owning a classic car, but when the bills for servicing it and repairing it start coming in, it could provoke terror. How fixable and reliable were they?
Yeah, look, from new, they were very reliable indeed. They were over-engineered to the max, so they were sort of like a bit of a German version of a Toyota in that regard back in the day. And they over-engineered them. Electrically, as time's gone on, they've become a bit of an issue, so electrical issues can creep in. But like with everything, Leon, you know, if the car's looked after properly, then it'll treat you well if you treat it well, you know, like with so many cars.
On Mornings Around Tasmania, what have you got in your driveway? What have you got in the shed or indeed out in the paddock that you can tell us about this morning? Because as times change, stuff that was just looked past in the past could become quite valuable. And that's actually your area of expertise, Mark. I'm told you sort of are keen on the cars between 1965 and 2000. What was brought out in 2000, maybe underappreciated in the time, that is appreciating in value now?
Look, there's quite a lot of them, Leon, to be fair. A lot of them are in the Japanese sector, and really Japanese cars came of age, pretty well after 1992. So you might remember the Skylines, the GDRs. Well, they've gone on, the R32s have gone on to be worth a fair bit, but the R34s have gone on to be worth, for the special ones, you know, over 500 grand. For a Nissan Skyline. So that's for what we call the V-Spec NR R34 GTR. So that gives you some idea of, where the speciality lies around that era. Certainly in the 90s, cars generally became a lot more sophisticated and a lot faster, you know.
Mm. I'm trying to remember, who was the driver that used to race one of those Skylines at Bathurst? Mark Scaife, Mark Richards?
It was Mark Scaife and Jim Richards.
They
both ran those as touring cars, which upset all of the people at Holdens and Fords because, you know, these cars were four-wheel drive, they had huge horsepower and were just extremely quick cars in their time, you know?
On Mornings Around Tasmania, so many texts coming in. Let's run through them. Daz says, I've got a 1996 Toyota Land Cruiser station wagon, same as a Troopy, but the rear seat is different and it's got no computers. I've had a lot of offers, but it's not for sale, says Daz this morning. What's the market like in Land Cruisers and Troopies at the moment?
Oh, look, extremely good. Troop carriers have always been a speciality, and I know that that's not actually a troop carrier, but the troop carriers, which are the ones with the higher head room, they've got a sort of bigger top on them above the windows. They are a very sought after thing, and 65 grand for one of those. I'm relieved and pleased to hear from Daz that he's not going to sell it, which is great. With these vehicles, you just have to hang on to them, really, because they're only going one way. And in fact, all the cars we deal with only go one way, up, up, up.
Mm. Donna says via text this morning, Mark, I would love an HQ panel van with a sound motor to get me a land circumnavigation around Australia, just missing the $70,000 to actually legally possess one at the moment, says Donna this morning. The Sandman.
Yes.
And the panel vans of the era, Mark, what are we seeing in terms of the appreciation of those in price?
Well, as the good lady says, absolutely phenomenal. You know, they're 70, 80, and sometimes some of the collectors we deal with have paid over $100,000 for a Sandman. And you may recall, Leon, that the Sandman was more or less made famous by Mel Gibson and the movie, well, and you know, that movie.
In
that
the first movie, Mad Max. Yeah.
Mad Max, yeah. So that was in that, and it was in various other movies at that time. And, you know, they're a great-looking van. But as the good lady says, the 70, more possibly $80,000, that's what they're worth and rising, you know.
I tell you the other problem with owning one, you would need to put so much theft prevention into it because of how desirable they'd be. Ideally, would that come with a 4.2-litre V8?
Yeah, it would. That's what they came with. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. There's one part.
And you're right on the theft front, Leon, because they were very simple. The lock systems on them were very simple at the time. So you'd probably really, these days, you'd want to be driving it to somewhere where you can see it and then driving it back home and put it in the garage again, I think.
There's one parked, if people want to go have a look at one, just to dribble. There's one parked in North Hobart in whatever that car park's called, just behind in Elizabeth Street, North Hobart. I don't know what the car park is. Is it Condell Place? I think it's the Condell Place car park. Someone parks their Sandman there. And you can go have a look at one if you would like to have a squeeze. Hey, look, we've got lots of people texting. I want some people to call and ask Mark a question. 1-300-222-936. You will go to the top of the list. 1-300-222-936 on mornings around Tasmania. Byron in Lenna Valley says, I've got an original C250 TD W202 1998, just done 90,000 kilometres, all in perfect condition. I love my ride. What's he talking about, please, Mark?
I'll be honest, I'm not entirely sure.
I thought it sounds like a turbo diesel Mercedes, potentially.
Yeah, it sounds like it, yeah. And yeah, we don't do quite so much with Mercedes, and I'm not sure what a W202 is, actually, so I'll be upfront and honest there.
Oh, well, let's find out. Hang on, Byron's with us now. Mark Haybuild was our guest this morning. Byron, what is a C250 TD W202?
G'day, Leon. It's a Mercedes white turbo diesel, 2,500 cc. It's exactly what it is. Unfortunately, if the guy doesn't do Mercedes, then he's missing out a lot.
Well, indeed, it would be running, and I think you'd probably expect to get about 600,000 kilometres out of those old Mercedes diesel engines. Thank you for that this morning, Byron. Mark Haybiddle. I've got a friend who's still got, it's not even a turbo, it's one of those naturally aspirated 80s Mercedes diesels, I think, and it's as slow as a wet week, but he absolutely loves it, Mark.
Yeah, Mercedes have actually come a long way with their diesels. We ended up owning a couple of Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans, and they have a very small 2.1-litre diesel, but it's got a very interesting turbo that's actually made up of two turbos in one turbo, and that now they go like a cut snake. I mean, they're a really quick van with heaps of power. But the earlier Mercedes, the normal aspirated ones, they didn't go all that well. That's true. They were quite slow. The later ones, they've really upped their game. They're a pretty quick thing now.
On mornings around Tasmania, what is a Datsun 1100 at 1968 two-door station wagon worth? Ask PK this morning.
That is a rare car. That is a rare car. Well, look, if it's in good shape and it's original, you know, no rust and good trim and interior and modest kilometres, and by that I mean at less than 100,000 kilometres, that could be worth anything up to 30 grand, that car.
Well, there you go, PK. Thanks for the text this morning. Now, I'm trying to remember back to what for a lot of us was our first car, the Datsun 120Y and the 280B. Are they actually
200B?
200B. Yeah. Are they actually worth anything now?
Oh, they are now. Yeah, well, the 120Y, fascinatingly enough, the one to get is the coupe, which is the two-door. So a two-door 120Y, again, 25 to 30K for one of those in great condition or restored condition. And that's for Datsun, you know, and as you probably remember, Datsun 120Ys, particularly for the four-doors, they were sort of down to like $300 or $200. But way back up now, you don't see too many 120Ys around, Leon.
No, indeed. And driving them in the wet was always an interesting experience on those nice thin tyres, but for a lot of us, it was our first method of getting around. 1-300-222-936. Call me. 1-300-222-936 if you've got a question for Mark Haybittle from Supercar Secrets about something that you've got in the driveway at the moment, or maybe it's in the paddock and you want to know what it's worth. Well, someone's texting in from King Island. We had an HQ on King Island that we had to tie a plank of wood on top of to stop the roof blowing off. thank you for that this morning. 0438 922 936. How much for a 1971 Datsun 1600 wagon? Ask another listener.
Datsun 1600 wagon. That's another very, very rare car. The Datsun 1600. Once upon a time, when I was rallying those cars, quite a few years ago now, they were worth nothing, absolutely nothing. And that's just for the sedan. But the wagon and also the Triple S, which was a two-door, very rare. Both of those cars, very rare. And a wagon and a 1600, 55 to 60K for one of those, if it's nice, with low Ks and history.
Eddie the Chippy's texted in. He doesn't want to sell it. He's just got it and loves it. I've got a 1978 HZ Wagon X Speedway 202 and the M21 four-speed, lowered, white walls, Venetians in the back windows. Best thing to take to the dog to the beach, was used in an ad for Yeti Outdoor Adventure Gear. I love it. I'll never sell it, says Eddie the Chippy. Hey, Mike's in Dodgers Ferry this morning. Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning, Leon.
Mike, what have you got in the drive?
Well, I've got an old 89 or 90 Subaru L Series wagon, which I've had a whole series of them, and I take it up the bush to set running trails. I treated it atrociously. And I'm just thinking maybe I should put it in the garage and clean it up a bit. It might be worth more than what I think it is. I brought one down from the Blue Mountains a couple of years ago, as a nice straight body to swap things over. I sold it recently, and the bloke was very keen to get by it. And I may be finding out why now. Maybe I should let it go for much less than I could have got for it.
Oh, Mike, well, interesting. 1989 L-Series Subaru wagon. It was a classic. It was also my first car, Mike. Let's see what Mark Haybittle says they're worth. Mark, those old Subaru wagons, well, this is 89, so it's not super old, but are they worth anything now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're rising very fast. They're sort of around the same, similar area to when the Brumby came out as well. And the Brumbies, you know, a couple of years ago, you could have picked one of those up for $1,000, $1,500. Now you'll pay 15 grand for one of those. And with the L series, similar sort of story, really. Again, as Mike said, they weren't worth so much. But now, somewhere between 10 and 15K for one of those now, and rising and continuing to rise. Because you just can't buy them anymore, Leon. I mean, where are you going to find one?
Honestly, I had the one with the 1800cc engine, low and high range in it. And I used to think I was Juha Kankinen. In that it was quite the great getaway mobile. Millie's given us a call this morning. Millie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Leon.
Millie, what do you got?
Well, listening to you, I actually rang up because I've got an old XD Falcon, excellent condition, to owner. I was thinking I might get $200 for it. I'm hoping he might be able to add a zero. But listening, I've also got one of the Subarus that you're talking about that's just rusty in the paddock. I'm also a bit interested in the 2A Land Rover. We were picking them up for less than $1,000 a few years ago. We've got a little bit of a fleet of them. Now we can't seem to find them at all. So I'm wondering, have they gone up?
Such a good question. Let's go back to Mark Haybittle from Supercar Secrets. A few questions thrown in there. Let's start let's start with the 2A Land Rover.
Well, the Series 2As, look, they've gone up dramatically with all the other Land Rovers and Range Rovers. So a Series 2A now in reasonable condition. And what I mean by that is drivable, good-looking panels, you know, nice trim, a nice car to drive. I mean, they're anything up to sort of 45, 50K now for a nice one, but it really depends on the condition. So if it's one that needs an awful lot of work and doesn't run, well, then it's not worth anything like that. But that gives you a sort of an idea of what it would be like. Nice running, driving, looking good, you know?
Mm. What about the XD Ford station wagon? This seems so much less popular than the Kingswood version of the same. What are XDs finding people that are passionate about them?
Yeah, well, your statement's exactly right. They weren't as popular as the Holdens, but there's still a following for them. And, of course, now they don't make them anymore and haven't done for many years. So they are starting to rise, but they're not rising astronomically. The figure that the lady quoted, probably you could get more than that. I would think $3,000 to $4,000 for it would be more realistic, providing it's reasonably good with not too much rust, etc. But that would be a fair figure for that. But they are starting to go because, again, when was the last time you saw one, Leon?
Well, indeed, and when I do see them, I'm... yeah, I don't know, those old XD wagons. Yeah, when you do see them, they always catch your eye. I want to say hello to Libby in Swansea, who's given Mark a call. Libby, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, Leon.
What do you got, Libby?
I've got a 1991 red Toyota 2.8 diesel ute called Arthur.
And it's how many Ks has it got on it, Libby?
352,000.
Right, so it's still a baby, 1991. So it's as slow as a wet week. It is incredible.
Oh, gorgeous.
It's incredibly reliable. It could literally drive, if you've got a snorkel on it, it'll drive underwater. But
I haven't got one of those, but yeah, he's very cruisy.
Is it worth anything? Jeez, good luck overtaking in that, Mark Haybittle. Is a 1991 Hilux with just a straight diesel worth anything with 350,000 Ks on the clock?
Well, the upside of it is the diesel. That's actually a bit of a winner for those vehicles, but the kilometres are quite high. I accept and I agree with you, Leon, it'll probably go forever, but the reality is that people really, when they're looking in the collectible arena, which is what we're talking about here, they really want the low-K vehicles. A vehicle like that, it's probably somewhere between 15 and 16 grand at the moment.
Really?
And probably... Yeah, probably. And they're quite sought after. Yeah, they're quite sought after and quite rare. I mean, there was a lot of them around at one time, but not anymore.
Okay, well, there you go, Libby. I'm surprised by that. 15 to 16 grand. Oh, Eric. Eric's got a 1995 manual Saab 9000 Aero. It's done 350,000 Ks and it's just running, getting run in. Love this car. A comfortable highway cruiser, very economical, goes like a rocket, says Eric this morning via text. Wow.
Yeah, look, they're a car that I actually quite like. I really do. They're a very smooth car, quite a quick car, and they do everything right. And they're one of those cars that when you look at them, because of the rarity factor, you would expect them to be worth an awful lot of money because they should be because, you know, they're rare. There's hardly any left. And what was the Ks again, Leon?
350,000 Ks.
Yeah, the Ks really sadly kill it. They kill the value of it massively. If it was, you know, under 70,000, the car would be worth a lot more. But once again, you know, I've always thought they should be worth 25 grand plus, but they're not. They're just not. They're sort of around 12, 13K for one of those.
I often, there's a couple of car Saabs that get parked around the Augusta Road, Hill Street. And when my eye falls on them, I think, oh, wow, Saab went out of business years ago.
Yeah.
But when you look at them, you think they're new because the design of the Saab is so incredible that you think it stands up against modern design. Like it almost looks like it was designed yesterday.
Yeah, well, it's what we call timeless. There's quite a few cars that are around over the years that have been timeless. Like an E-Type Jaguar is timeless, really. It was beautiful in 1961. It's still beautiful now. And you know, cars like that stand the test of time. And the Saab is definitely one of those. I completely agree. You look at them and you still think they're a modern car, and yet you know, and yet they're not. You know.
Bob's in Andover. Good morning, Bob.
Yep.
What do you got, Bob?
What have I got? I've got a 1967 Toyota Crown Ute, which was Australian assembled with a limited slip diff as standard.
A Crown Ute? I've never heard of a Crown Ute.
And the biggest problem with a lot of your collectible cars, and the message I'm going to send out there is, go and buy brake parts and keep them in storage because they are hard to find.
That is a really interesting perspective. Let's find out what Mark Haybittle thinks about a 1967 Toyota Crown Ute. Never heard of it. Mark, have you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they're a very rare vehicle, and quite a few of them did end up in Tasmania, but they are extremely rare. And it would really the value of the vehicle would really largely depend on its condition and the kilometres that it's showing. But the gentleman's absolutely right. Very hard to get parts for these days, particularly body parts, certainly the Ute part of it. And you do need to sort of stack some parts away for those vehicles. That's absolutely right. Very hard to value without actually seeing it because... they're a vehicle that when they're in mint condition can be worth an awful lot of money, and I'm talking sort of 50-55k. You know, our collectors have paid that for them in the past, but they've got to be mint for that.
Okay. I've just got one more question for you because we've got to get off to Ellie Ward with news headlines. Look, we'd love to get you back, Mark, in the future. I've just got a question that's really concerning me, coming in from a listener this morning, and here it is, and you'll understand in the first five words why it's concerning. Hi, Leon and Mark. It's Sandra. What would my husband's 1984 HJ47 Series Land Cruiser fully restored be worth? It has a Timbers tray. Look, Sandra, I let's agree that we're not selling your husband's thing on him, or are we?
well,
very briefly, Mark, what would an 84 HJ47 Series Land Cruiser be worth?
Yeah, look... The real value with Land Cruisers is in the earlier ones, FJ40s, and they're worth up to sort of 60 or 70k. And HJ47, not quite so much, probably around 20k, 20 to 25.
Good on you, Sandra. Thanks for getting in touch. Hey, Mark, lovely to chat to you. Catch you in a couple of weeks' time.